Welcome to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Torta. Volunteer ski patrols have assisted Alaska's ski area since the 1950s. The Alyeska Ski Patrol was founded in 1953, working at Alyeska and Arctic Valley. Through various iterations, the latest being the Alyeska Volunteer Ski Patrol, people have provided aid and assistance to skiers while supporting the professional Alyeska Patrol. This past fall, the resort decided not to use volunteers, thus ending, at least for now, the tradition of the Volunteer Ski Patrol at Alyeska. To commemorate the patrol's history, they gathered in December of 2023 to tell stories and reminisce. With the assistance of William Melton Media, Outdoor Explorer was able to record some of the stories and present them to you on this episode. Matt Martin, Patrol Director, emceed the event. Stay tuned for Outdoor Explorer. Welcome back to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Torta, and we'll get started listening to the stories from the Alyeska Volunteer Ski Patrol told live at the Challenge Alaska building in Girdwood. We start with Matt Martin introducing the event, then John Bishop telling stories from the early days of the patrol. Matt comes back on to read a letter that summarizes the history and importance of the patrol.
If you don't know me, my name is Matt Martin. I'm the one that's been sending you the crazy invites in your email and spreading those around and stuff like that. Currently, I'm the volunteer patrol rep, as long as that stays a thing, which might expire here shortly. But just trying to put some things together. I'll do nuts and bolts, little logistics stuff right now. I think everybody's probably found the bathrooms in the back. Our exits, I think, are pretty obvious. With this crowd here, I just want to point out the AED is right over there.
Hey, two words.
What's that? I want to say some thank yous real quick. So I want a big thank you for Challenge. Challenge, who donated the time for the facility here. We're gonna leave them a nice, good, clean place when we get out of here. And they also want to say, hey, if there's anybody that needs a place to volunteer, they'd be happy to have us. Thanks to Chris's Mixed Grill, there's some good food. They've helped us out at Powder Blast in the past, and they definitely showed up well now. Let's see, Challenge already mentioned. Thanks to everybody here who paid their dues over the years, because that's what paid for Christmas Mixed Grill. And we've also got, if you've seen the video camera around, we've got William Melton over here, and he's going to be recording this so that we don't forget what we said, because after a couple of drinks, maybe we might do that. Thanks to Midnight Sun Brewing for some beverages that we've got in here. And I know Alyeska brought over the fire pit that we can crank up later. I think Paul brought a truckload of pallets, so that's option for as we wind down here to socialize some more. Anyways, most of all though, thanks everybody here for coming. Looking around and seeing the faces here is huge. I was sweating it a week ago. I'm like, wow, there are a lot of people that have been doing this for 20 years that have signed up to come. I was like, we're hoping for people that have been doing this for more than 20 years to come. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing a lot of those folks that have come out of the woodwork. So thank you guys for that. I mean, this is what makes this what it is, right? People traveled from out of state. People traveled from within the state a ways to get down here. I just really appreciate the fact that people are showing up to share their stories and pass this on. We've got a younger crowd here. We've got an older crowd here. We've got four different generations of patrollers here. And to have that knowledge pass both ways there is huge. So it's good to see everybody. Wanted to, I'll hit some service awards later. I was gonna drift into service awards first that need to get passed out. We'll do those later. There are a couple of folks that have some good stories that need to go soon. So I'll just kind of start off with where we're at. Not everybody knows exactly why we're here or what's going on. And we're here because we love this mountain. Everybody here loves this mountain, right? We're here because we've helped build this mountain. We're here because we've taken care of the people that have skied this mountain. For somewhere around 70 years, the hours of service that have been put in by a lot of the people that are in this room has made this place what it is today. And times change, things shift. You know, that always happens. Change is constant. But, you know, we're at a time where the patrol and the resorts decided to move away from the hybrid paid staff, volunteer staff model and wants to go more towards an all-the-way paid staff model. So that's the decision that's been made. And when we heard that decision, many of us felt, myself included, like I'd lost a dear friend. It's a loss in a couple of ways. It's a loss because a lot of us have really dedicated a lot of our lives towards something we love to do in terms of volunteering and giving of ourselves to something greater, you know? And to not have that outlet for some of the amazing people that have standing right here in this room is a loss to a lot of us, right? It's also a loss of a resource to a mountain that we all know and love and care about, because some of the competency levels of the people that have been, you know, I remember watching Skit respond to a radio call from the middle of a catnap and say exactly the right thing at exactly the right time, better than I could have even thought to say it. That level of competency doesn't come quick. So it's good to see that there, and it's sad when, you know, we lose it. So part of the point of this is to try to commemorate the legacy that has built this mountain into what it is. Okay, a lot of the people in this room have done what it, you know, through the years, decades, to help make this mountain what it is today. And it'd be easy for that to just kind of fade away and go away. And at its core, the most important thing that we're trying to do tonight, aside from hanging out and telling stories amongst each other, is trying to get that recorded on video. And from there, we're looking to build a plot and a theme and a, you know, what that production might look like in order to commemorate the legacy of the Alyeska Volunteer Ski Patrol and what's gone into this mountain. And if we do a good job of this, we could have something put together that maybe we put up in the roundhouse next to the Volunteer Ski Patroller uniform that looks like one that's being worn here today. Where'd that go? But so anyways, that's a lot of the point of this, to try to not forget what's gone into it, pass some of these stories on, and you know, put it down. It'll be a lot tougher to forget. We could be persistent too. So with that, I can pass it off to somebody who wants stories. I've got a few that I can fill in from, I've got some notes from people, but I know there might be somebody that's looking to get out of here shortly, has a time limit, and I heard that John Bishop isn't shy.
Ooh,
when you come up, remember, a lot of people don't know who or when you were around. So if you can introduce yourself or who you are and when you were patrolling, that'd be helpful.
Sure, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, I joined the patrol, and I think it was the winter of 70, 71, or 71, 72. Those were the good old days. You know, we had a day lodge and an aid room. I think they had a ticket shack somewhere, too. But, you know, I want to remember, first of all, some of you are far too young to remember some of the grandfathers of the patrol on this mountain when it started. First of all, really one of the granddads and the avalanche pro on this mountain for a long time, David Hendrickson. And his daughter, Brenda, is here. And one of the patrollers that was really the spirit of the patrol, who, when they certified the World Cup Grand Slalom, had to run the sled because the certifier was Swiss and only spoke German. And Norm Pitchler ran the sled so he could translate. And Ron, his son, is here. And of course there was Mother Hen. A few of us remember Beverly Wagner. She was the spirit of the Midweek Patrol. And there are skitters, Dave Skitt, and the people that stayed with Sourdough. You remember all of them. And there's far too many to remember. But you know, you can tell funny stories forever. And I'm gonna cover three. You know how you get nicknames on the patrol?
You screw up. Beer.
Yeah. Well, there was Lois Gunther. She went over a cliff and landed in a pile of snow, and they called that Lola's Leap. I think they still call it that, don't they? Yeah. And then there was Swinger, Joe Wells. During the World Cup race, the lift operators were paying attention to those tight ski pants that those Italian gals wore. And the lifted top didn't slow down the lift when Joe shows up with the Accio. And Joe is screaming at him, and finally the guy runs around to the back of the ramp, grabs the Accio off, and the lift's running full speed, and Joe dives out of the chair, even though he's 10 feet in the air, throwing the bar up, which bounced and came right back, and it still had the footrest on it. And you know what? It caught his aid belt just in time to hit the safety gate. They had to motor the lift into the roundhouse to get him off it. So he was Swinger from then on. And then a few years, this happened before I was there, but does anybody remember how Stinky got his name or who he was? Well, you got to go back to the old days when there was just one chairlift. Well, you couldn't ski the bottom half of the mountain. They didn't have all this thing that blows snow around in those days. And we could only ski the top half. And the patrol's all standing there on the ramp at Midway downloading after doing the sweep. Come on, Bob, Joe, whoever he was. Get on the lift. We want to go have beer. So he steps out onto the ramp, turns around to grab the center pole, and realizes the chair is loaded. And it knocks him off into the safety net. And as he looks up, it emptied the chair. It was the honey buckets from the top. But now, I understand they had a barrel of water outside and a couple of blankets for him when he got to the aid room. That was before I joined, but I sure heard about it. Somebody's probably got some stories to tell on me, too, so I'm going to leave after I put down the mic so you can tell them and have fun anyway. But the final story, you know, being on the volunteer patrol is a good way if you are one to draw attention to yourself, and especially if you aspire to great things in community service. And, you know, we had six juniors that ended up being paramedics. Denny Dimwit and Veach, they were a couple of them. But there was one in particular who really drew attention to himself. And he did really aspire to high public service. Because, you see, we were all down at the old double muskie. You know, wasn't as big as this room. And there was 200 people in there. It was wall to wall, and the door flew open, and he comes running in. He's holding his face right now. Bill, why don't you stand up? You can correct the story if you want to. He didn't have a stitch on. And the crowd closed in around him. And that was it. And he couldn't get out. The back door was locked. He had to climb over the back bar and jump out the window. Luckily, there were no nails in them boards you landed at. That's when we still had juniors on the patrol. And between Bill and Denny Dimwit, Veach and Decker, you know, you had to wonder what was going on around here sometimes. Would you like to comment to that, Bill?
I better. You better,
yeah. Yeah, that really was the best of times. Back late 60s, early 70s, I was the outstanding junior in 1969. And proceeded...
With his clothes on, no
less. Yeah, with my clothes on, absolutely, my clothes on. But yeah, we, you know, the old days around here, gosh, there are so many stories we could tell. I mean, good stories, bad stories, things that I'll never forget. I mean, Christmas Eve 1969, when Don Conrad ran us up the lift under foot and a half of new powder under the moonlight, back is the best skiing I've ever done. The ideals that this patrol that I got, the whole lifestyle that I got from this patrol, as many of you probably know, I had quite a good, I put 40 years in with the fire department. I spent the last 17 of them down here as the fire chief, and got to know a lot of you, a lot of people, and but the probably the best part about it was the teaching end of it, and being able to pass it along, and being able to pass that ideal of service that this patrol taught me, pass that ideal of helping other people at all times off on whole. Now I'm seeing three generations here.
Isn't that great?
And that's the best feeling in the world.
And you know, Denali's junior patrol did everything on the mountain. Other patrols had them loading sleds and doing menial work. Our juniors did the same thing as any patroller. They were all, had the basic avalanche course, and many of them went on, like Bill, into public service as medics and fire department. And I think they learned leadership from the patrol. And I regretted when the junior program went away, because I think it's a great service to young people and to our communities. And Matt, I don't want to take up your whole evening. Oh, there you are. I don't want to take up your whole evening. I could tell stories till 2 in the morning, but you don't want to listen to me all night. Thank you for getting me in early, because I do have to go.
I'd listen to those kind of stories till 2 in the morning any day. I'll put in the middle that had a message from somebody come through that couldn't make it, checking in from Verona Beach, Florida. Wish I could be there this evening. Needless to say, I was very surprised that the volunteer patrol at Alyeska had been disbanded. Wally Watts and I have stayed in close touch over the years and have spent a week skiing together at Deer Valley each year until COVID shut us down. At his 90th birthday celebration this August, he told me that he was hanging up his boards. He may also send a note, which he has. As for me, I, along with my wife Lee, spend 2+ months each year skiing every day in Jackson Hole, which about doubles my usual 30 ski days each year when I lived and patrolled at Alyeska. I joke with folks that when I hit 100, I will only ski half days. Mornings, of course. And fly fish on the nearby Snake River in the afternoons. Fly fishing is another passion for the summer months, also spent in Wyoming and with friends in Montana. Otherwise, we are here on the beach in Florida working hard at our retirement life. My salute to each and every one of the volunteers that have served Alyeska so well over the years. May we all receive lifetime season passes from the resort. All the best. Anybody know it? Kirk Shadrick. A couple people know it. What's that? Yeah, no, come on up. I got a note from Wally that said, well, I can't make it, so I'm sending somebody in my stead. You're filming, okay. Somebody else?
Hey, everybody. My name is Ron Pitchler. My dad was Norm before we built the 8 house that was over there right now. We used to be in the bottom of the what is now, I guess, the ski lodge. And as a young kid, Bill's talking about being a junior patroller. I was just a 10, 11-year-old troublemaker. And but I got called out all the time by my dad to help out, shoveling, helping haul 105 ammunition, doing whatever I could do to help out. And of course, the big benefit was I got a cinnamon roll and a sandwich, which was a big deal for a little 11-year-old kid. But anyway, I'm here on behalf of my dad. He's been gone for quite a few years, but he really loved this mountain. He loved the volunteer work that everybody in this room has done. He was part of that back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and into the 70s. And he got a chance to ski with his grandkids at 70 years old. And he was real proud of that, and so were we. But it was fun growing up here. It's a little bit of a bittersweet day for myself, and I'm sure all of you in the room here. But this legacy should go on, tell the stories. There are many, many stories to be told. And the kids, I love seeing the kids around here. Make sure they understand the stories, because then they can someday get up and share them with their kids. And it was just a pleasure growing up here. Good to see everybody. So thank you very much.
I've had a couple people ask, did we ask about this or ask about that? And one of the things that I thought might be worth reading was something that the division and the leadership of the patrol and the region put together, addressed to Eliezka immediately after we heard the decision come out there. So wanted to put this out there. So you know kind of the things that we brought up, and it also gives a little bit of history that maybe the resort hadn't known about at the time. And it might jog some memories on some other stories too. So, to whom it may concern, we have received the news regarding the dissolution of the Eliezka Volunteer Ski Patrol. As senior leaders in the division, region, and patrol, our initial reaction was like losing a family member. The long history of Eliezka Ski Patrol, paid and volunteer, goes back over 70 years. Denali Ski Patrol was the first ski patrol established in the Alaska Division in 1953, along with the Juneau Ski Patrol. At that time, Denali was a metro patrol that patrolled at Arctic Valley, Eliezka, and at Hatcher Pass. Denali also performed search and rescue duties as needed and requested. Denali used teams to patrol Arctic Valley, Eliezka, and Hatcher Pass. It took a lot of commitment and dedication to accomplish this weekend after weekend. The Sourdough Ski Patrol, later changed to Eliezka Ski Patrol, split from Denali in 1976 to patrol exclusively at Eliezka. No need to go into it much, but a lot of hard feelings were generated because of the split. Suffice it to say that Denali Patrol was too large, unmanageable, and not enough commitment from all patrollers to continue to keep the commitments in all areas. Eliezka handpicked Denali patrollers who were strong skiers and would commit to patrolling regularly on the weekends. Eliezka volunteers have contributed not only countless ski patrol hours and constructed many pieces of the physical infrastructure at Eliezka. Volunteers built the existing aid room and performed over 5 substantial remodeling projects to that building. Volunteers remodeled the old mid-4 pump house building. Although it's currently used for storage, it served for many years as the Mid-Mountain Patrol Shack. Volunteers built the top of 2 extension, doubling the size of the top shack and added the deck. Spencer Shack was a volunteer project. The sled enclosure rebuild at Dispatch was a volunteer project. Volunteers built quite a few of the existing ski trails on the mountain. Volunteers raised money for sleds, radios, building materials, and donated a snow machine. Many of our volunteers obtained matching corporate grants, such as through BP, in addition to contributing their own personal money, raising tens of thousands of dollars for avalanche dog training, high angle rescue gear, and many other projects. There are many other ways Eliezka volunteers have contributed to their expertise in Eliezka resort infrastructure. Before COVID, the volunteer and paid staff were a single integrated unit. During the last 40 years of our personal involvement, the volunteers played a significant role in the patrol. Before COVID, Over the past 40 years, most of the paid staff rose through the volunteer ranks, trained by the volunteer outdoor emergency care and outdoor emergency transportation instructors. A vast majority of OAC classes in South Central over the last 40 years were taught by volunteers. Most of the instructor of records and instructor trainers were taught by volunteers. Volunteers and paid staff were seamlessly integrated, providing senior clinics and evaluations. Volunteers trained many of your OAC instructors and put the classes and trail crew attended to become full patrollers. So this goes on and on, let's see. We provided between 10 and 15 or more patrollers per weekend day, military Mondays, senior clinics. Though that said, COVID years were tough on the volunteers, limited to 5 to 7 per weekend day. Over the years, all members of the region paid their dues, nearly $25,000 worth of equipment and supplies used by all patrollers in the region. The Unified Patrol was recognized as the most outstanding ski patrol in the United States on 4 separate occasions, Denali, Sourdough, and Alyeska twice. The reason for the award was the seamless integration of volunteer and paid staffs, accomplishments to the extraordinary contributions of the members, paid and volunteer, not only to the mountain, but to the overall search and rescue community. Volunteers brought many less tangible skills and efforts to the table, leadership, development, professional advice, and guidance. Also community members, impacts on the community. So large impacts overall, but that gives a little bit of a background and a history of what we spelled out to the mountain, put that together. Thanks for everybody that went into that. And hopefully it jogs a little bit of memories of some of the construction projects that went on at the time, or you're seeing on the photos up there.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Twardot. We are listening to stories from the Alyeska Volunteer Ski Patrol. That was Matt Martin and John Bishop. Next up are Heidi Stater, Larry Daniels, and Lee Ellis.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes Store or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
Today's episode is sponsored by Posh Peanut. Where did all the cool and cute kids' clothes go? If you're having trouble finding something for your kid or your friend's kid to wear that is both parent-approved and kid-approved, you need to check out Posh Peanut. Posh Peanut makes thoughtfully crafted, beautiful, and stylish clothing for kids and families designed in-house from beautiful florals to your favorite brands such as Hot Wheels, Disney, Hello Kitty, and Barbie. Their pieces are made with ridiculously soft viscose made from bamboo that stays soft even after you wash them over and over again. My daughter loves her Posh Peanut pajamas. They are so soft and so cozy, and she wants to wear them all the time. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code BRAINSON. Go to poshpeanut.com/brainson and use promo code BRAINSON for 20% off your first order. That's poshpeanut.com/brainson, promo code BRAINSON.
Hi everyone, my name is Heidi Strader, and I felt like I should follow Harry because Harry's probably one of the main reasons I do what I do.
Probably.
Guilty. So I don't know about everyone else here, but how many of you kind of joined Ski Patrol on a whim? Like, yeah, seriously? Yeah, free skiing? Yeah.
Somebody talked me into it.
Yes, somebody talked you into it, right? So, yeah, I joined in 2000, and a friend of mine, Brian Johnson, many of you remember him, he talked me into it. He was like, you should go do it. So it was actually week two of training, and I showed up, and I could ski okay, so I was all right with that part. And then there was the toboggan stuff, and I was okay with that too, because as a little kid, my dad was a ski patroller, and the most exciting thing for me was to hold the tail rope at the end of the day on the, taking the toboggan down the hill. So I was like, oh yeah, toboggans, I'm good. Well, I had missed week one of training, in which you learn that when you're going to load the toboggan on the chairlift, you lock the handles.
What?
Yeah. So Brian and I got the sled all set up, and we get ready, and we chair six, right? Busy Saturday, lots of people around. Get the toboggan up there, get the little carrier on, everything's good. We let go of the handles. The chair scoops us, the handles drop, nose in, the chair pops out from behind us, we go down on our faces, and I was just glad it wasn't a big snow year because we fell under the chair and it came back, you know, swung back, and we were okay, it didn't hit us. Holy cow. You know what the outcome of that is? I am the division toboggan supervisor. Funny how poor beginnings can actually send you a long way, but a lot of that came because Harry told me the next year, you're gonna become a toboggan instructor. And there was not a, do you wanna become a toboggan instructor? It was, you're gonna become one. So I didn't know I had a choice. And here I am 23 years later, and I've been doing this toboggan gig for a while, and it's a lot of fun. It's helped me to travel. I got to go down to Mount Hood last spring for in June and ski on an active volcano. Pretty cool. I went to a little podunk resort in Wyoming and got to ski and meet some really fun people there. But I guess what I would like to say is ski patrolling has, just like Harry said, created this family of people I didn't know I had as family. They're cooler than a lot of the family I do have. But they're a lot of fun. And I left the Anchorage area in 2008 and moved up to Fairbanks. And I joined a patrol there. And they're so much like all of you. I mean, we're the same everywhere. And it's just really cool to have that camaraderie, people who want to go out and do something fun. And we volunteer because we love it. And we like the people we're working with. And so I appreciate all of you that have been around and made this fun. And then I have one other story. This is a remembrance. It's a little more serious. Don Spencer, who many of you remember. I don't know which volcano. There he is. It's like he heard it. Yeah, hey. I can't remember which volcano it was, but sometime in the mid-2000 range, I'm going to just say it was Spur, because that's close. It erupted during a day that we were skiing, and all of a sudden, there was ash coming down, and it was the weirdest thing, and it got darker and darker, and we decided, we've got to close, right? We've got to close this hill, because we don't know what how much worse it's going to get. And I got to be to help be super sweep. I was at the top of two, and Don was at dispatch, and we were the last ones off the hill, and it was so weird and freaky.
I was with dispatch.
You were at dispatch? Okay.
You guys brought a sled down.
We
and
did.
Heidi, do you guys remember that?
Was there a race that day?
Yeah.
I remember it was a busy day, and it was a big deal that we shut down. Yeah.
Send them!
And it was eerie skiing down, and your skis wouldn't slide anymore. There was enough ash collecting on the snow that you were getting. It was like really bad spring skiing. And we got everybody off the hill, got down, got to the bottom, and we threw our skis in the shower to get the ash off because we knew it was corrosive. And I just remember stacking all these skis in the shower at the end of that day. It was a very weird, surreal kind of day.
It went down style on because we didn't have to walk.
Yeah, it was great.
So, my name's Larry Daniels, and for 26 years I was a lot of different things that related to, ultimately, I was the guy that would manage the mountain. The very first person I met at Alyeska when I got here was Bill Chadwick. He came to pick me up at the airport. So I have kind of a long experience with patrol. He and Veach were living in the patrol building that summer. I remember that. That was pretty interesting because there was no shower or anything in there. But, you know, but hey, you know, ski bums would live anywhere. As a manager, you know, for the resort, I always saw the value of the volunteer patrol. You know, it brought a structure, it brought a process that nobody else had. You know, the professional, you know, ski industry didn't have a standard, but National Ski Patrol did. And so it was the basis on which we all were trained. And, you know, I mean, it's a people industry, so that's kind of an up and down thing. You know, there's good days and bad days, but really in the overall scheme of things, there were a lot more good days than bad. You know, despite the challenges. You know, one of the worst days of my life was in 1999, I think it was. We had the Cornice avalanche. And, it was a sunny Friday afternoon. You know, when I got to the top of the tram, I looked out over there and I didn't think, was there somebody dead? I just wondered how many were dead. But, you know, as I'm standing there sort of dumbfounded and struck by the whole process, I heard the avalanche process, the leadership process, you know, the hasty search leader, you know, the scribe and all of that stuff. And all of that comes from the National Ski Patrol. That's where it was formed. And it all started clicking in. And all of us that were terrified fell in and made a great show of it. And nobody died. So I just use that as a example of the leadership that the volunteer staff had always brought to Alyeska. And then, you know, one last thing that I got to be the victim in, I don't know, 97 or so. I fell off of chair 3 and had a couple of compression fractures. But Pat Walker was like the first person on me, you know, and she was the most reassuring person. Huh? Well, no.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. But anyway, it was a great experience. We'll remember it forever. So I want to thank all of you for everything that you did, you know, and, it's a small fraternity that the ski industry is, and you people, you know, make it great.
I can do this. So, Larry and Cindy Michelson, who many remembers them?
Oh, yeah.
Shout out. I wish I would have tried to call them. It's because of them I joined Ski Patrol on the whim. I was a medic, EMT-2 up on North Slope, and I was being moved to Anchorage. I was a health, safety, environmental person as well. And they said, Pam, do you like to ski? If you want to keep up your medical, you can join Ski Patrol at Alyeska. And I said, sounds good to me. Go do a ski test and challenge OEC. You do not challenge OEC. Carrie, I went to his first class and thought, no, I'm not challenging this. I'm doing this whole thing. I finish it. I become a patroller. The point I want to make, really, is how important all what we learn here, and not just with people. My first summer after being a patroller, I was out in Prince William Sound, and if I can get through this, I basically was first responder to a plane crash. And it was the I couldn't save the pilot. I was the only trained responder. And it was quite traumatic. I did save the passenger. And it turned out the pilot actually ran Mighty Mites here. It was quite traumatic. And I mean, to be honest, I went on just automatic, everything you learn in OEC. It all came, I mean, I got through it. We got the person helicoptered out. I won't go into long details. But the thing that really was impressive was when I got home, I got a call. Dave Skitt had been notified that I was the first responder. And they got, Mary Michelson, they got people to come talk to me and help me through it. Dave Skitt. And that's my first little taste of a family. I got a Purple Merit Award for that and a Red Cross Award. And it was Ski Patrol that actually put me in there. I don't know if that's why I'm now the South Central Alaska OEC coordinator.
Congratulations!
Which I've done now for 8 years. Susie moved. And anyway, but again, I mean, that family, and just, you know, in a nutshell, I mean, I went through a bad divorce, I got remarried, and my husband, my late husband, Andy, there's lots of pictures of him up there. We had, I have to say, wonderful 9 years together here. So, and again, this family helped me through all those hardships. And I'm still a patroller, I'm with Nordic, and Ski Talk. And if you're down to ever volunteer to call back here again, I definitely come back and help. But anyway, just thank you all. I really got through a lot, and just the training we get, I mean, it helps in real life. And Dave, I'm missing too, and Andy, of course. So anyway, thank you, everybody.
I see Pat Walker. Uh-oh. Brace yourself. This could be a while.
I was hoping to avoid this tonight because there's so many other good stories out there. Can you hear me in the back?
No. Are you going to tell about making
Do I need to
laugh?
Just yell? Okay. A couple of quick stories. I sent this one about Paul Brooks. This is I absolutely dearly love that man. But I sent this. I gotta read this because I'll forget it. I've got two stories. One Paul Brooks story and then a little more serious one. Paul Brooks was one of my on-hill trainers. I, as well as Glenn Brown, Wayne Priggy, Bruce Boer, trying to remember who else were our primary trainers. There was a couple, I can't remember their names now. But they also helped. There were a lot of people that helped. And I didn't go through the volunteer instruction for the course. I went through the one that Sandy Call taught at UAA's Wilderness Studies program. But she was also teaching here. So we all got a dose of Sandy. And I'll tell you, you didn't forget that. You came out of her course and by God, you knew your stuff. And I'd come in from having been an EMT-1, and my certs had lapsed because it wasn't as easy to get or stay up with those. Back to Paul. Okay, I gotta say, this is funny. Okay. Back in 1990, we were all convinced in our candidate group, we used to run candidates, you were either on the Saturday group or the Sunday group. There was usually about 10 to 12 of us each weekend that we're down here training. And it was the whole season. And those of us that had Paul for a trainer, we were convinced that the man did not have a sense of humor. I'm serious. He never cracked a smile. He didn't laugh at jokes. I mean, we were absolutely positively sure that he had starched boxers that had Ski Patrol crosses on them. We're absolutely positive of that. So, long funny story. We never ever saw him laugh, not once. He did not crack a smile while we were training until one particularly awful snowy day with over 2 feet of fresh, wet, heavy Alyeska premix, you could call it snow, and of course, it was the day we were practicing sled traverses across the side hills. We'd spent most of the early morning going across South Face. Yeah, I'd spent my time in the handles, I'd spent my time in the tail rope. We were all working on teams of three. And so this time we went up to the top of two. And it was my turn to ride in the sled, thank God. Okay, so but we were in our groups of three. There were two or three sleds of us in these groups working on this. So by this time, next up was the traverses from the top of two over to the top of Old Fort, which is about where, correct me if I'm wrong, those of us who remember, about where the tram portal base of Mighty Might dumps out. And the whole thing was that the route was top of two, ash can, trap line, kitchen wall, around the ridge, and keep it high enough so we could come in above the top of four. And the bet was, Paul bets, he said, if you can do that, we're done with the sled, we're done with traverses for today. By that time, we're game on, we're ready. So, challenge accepted. Started off, had enough momentum to get through down ash can, across traverse. Things were getting pretty sloppy getting through kitchen wall and around the, and then we got to the point just beyond the ridge, their kitchen wall, and both sled drivers were dragging the sled. Now those of you that have driven sleds, you know that when you're traversing, you've got to have a tail roper, you've got to have the chain break down, and there's a certain method that you go about traversing so that you don't lose the sled. And I get to ride, kind of side hill hanging on, and good buddy of mine, Randy Hutton, he was in the handlebars, incredibly strong skier, incredibly strong sled handler. He was to the point where he was dragging this thing. Drug it to a certain point and said, Paul, I gotta pull the chain brake, I can't go any further. Paul stoically looks at me and says, I wouldn't advise that. And Randy just like, goes back. Now both the tail roper, sled driver, they've got their jackets off, it's hot, it's wet, it's miserable. And I'm hanging on, because I don't want to get dumped out of the sled. So keep going. We bake it about another 2 feet, and Randy just stops. He says, I can't go any further. I'm going to pull the chain brake. And Paul says, well, I wouldn't advise it, but if you want to try it, yeah. Randy pulls the chain brake. The sled immediately swings down into the fall line, knocks him over in the sled handles. He stayed in the sled handles. Knocks me out of the sled. The tail roper just kind of leaned back and stopped the sled. And we were like, we all started laughing because it's like, okay, well, we're screwed. We're not going to make it to the top four. Paul starts laughing. I mean, laughing. And he starts laughing and he falls over. He falls over on his skis. He's laughing so darn hard. And we're like, who is this guy? We've never seen him crack a smile at anything. And so that was we figured out, okay, so he does have a sense of humor. He just likes to see candidates really screw up. So that was a funny story. So lots of love to Paul. The other story that I had, that a couple people were saying, you gotta say something about this, Pat. And I said, well, I don't know if I've got the authority to say it, but I'll try it. I've only been down here once for the torch run or torchlight parade on New Year's. Some of us know where I'm going with this. It's one and only time I came down here. Got down here New Year's Eve 2012. It was pouring rain at the bottom of the mountain. I didn't care. I got rain gear. I got a trash bag over my aid pack. I'm going up. I'm going to do this. I'm great. I just retired. I'm going to do torchlight parade. So I come down, as I'm walking in the aid room, I'm going to do the torchlight parade. And Dave Skitt kind of leans out of the aid room office and says, tram hit the tower. I went, yeah, tram always hits the tower. No, not really, but yeah, bumps it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do the torchlight parade. So I go on down into our little locker room, and I'm changing out. And all of a sudden, I hear a stampede from about four or five set of pro boots coming down from the upstairs locker room. I hear Sparky Clean Peel come running down the stairs, and he looks over at one of our fairly new candidate, or brand new patrollers, John Abels, and he says, I won't repeat exactly what he said. It's not G-rated, but it's like, get your boots together and get up there. The tram's been, the tram's stuck on the tower. And I'm like, oh, we're not Kansas anymore, Toto. Okay, so I just throw my stuff on it. I'm like, holy cow, this is real now. And so like all of us, you know, you load on, David, Mr., he's always got it together in a crisis. Had reached over, called Michelle Cosper, said, we need to spin one. Good old chair one saved the day. Says, we need to spin one. She says, okay, done. Gets chair one going. We all get over there. We're loading up. We had one of the, one year, there's a lady, Susan Mole was here just one year. None of us knew what an incredible backcountry skier she was until after she left. But she rode up with me, and I'm going through Abby, this, that, you know, I'm trying to think lifts. I'm going through all those years of training. Like I said, I just joined the patrol in 90, but all those years of training, drilling it in, and I'm just going to insert this before I forget it. The patrol that trains together stays together. Whether you're all volunteer, all pro, you're country, the patrol that trains together stays together. And I truly want those of you that are continuing to patrol here, remember that. That is your strength. Patrol trains together, stays together. We get up to the top. We've been drenched, soaked from the curtains of rain coming up from the base. We go up to one. There were lift operators that had worked all day. They turned right around, came back. It's absolutely soaked. And I guess the mid one operator, they didn't have the keever. So she sat out there. She'd been soaked all day. I think it was Kenna. I think it was her first season here. And she stood out there I forget how many hours out there because they couldn't get a key to her. And so we get up to the top. I walk up, Stacy and Ben are in the dispatch. I go up there and go, what do you need me to do? And I see Stacy's frantically writing notes, you know, Ben's kind of running radios. And I go, what do you need me to do? And she says, write everything down. But, okay, David taught me enough. I've watched him enough at dispatch to know, okay, just get out the dispatch logs and start writing it down. You got to record everything. Throughout that night, that everything happened like that. We had hellacious, we had 60 mile an hour gust winds. Not in our favor. We had snow coming down. Did you ever see The Shining? Amp it up with 60 mile an hour winds. It was ugly. I'm getting to that. I witnessed that. So Stacy goes out with Susan. They're trying to shovel off the top of one to keep it because they figured out a plan on how to get the 80 some guests and staff that were now stuck over in the restaurant. We had like one cat going. I picked it, so I was helping run dispatch. Alan Drake stepped in to help, thank God. And so I'm starting to write things down, and I happen to look over, and during one of those 60 mile an hour gusts, I'm looking at Stacy, little Stacy over there for the zone, no Stacy. I don't know if you realize this, but you were almost blown off the top of one. I watched you sliding with your ski boots, and I'm like, let's stop, okay, we're good. She didn't go off the lift. But there were a lot of things like that. People came in, and whether they were paid or volunteers, it was just, what do you need me to do? And then they jumped in and did it. Sparky, where's Sparky? I would have loved to have clamped down some of your transmissions on one, because we needed that channel, but you were running things over at the restaurant and getting people out of there. Everybody filled in a slot, like, remember Gunner? Some of you remember on Paidstat or Trail Crew? Gunner was teaching all the people that they would get one blanket. This is all the guests that were going to be riding down on chair one until we had to shut it down. You get one blanket, this is how you use your blanket.
We were tying purses on people.
Oh, God. Yeah, there were women in spiky high heels, no jackets. It's like, yeah. Okay. It was insane. I heard there was, what was that? Yeah. They had a cash, I think Mick or somebody had been grabbing lost and found items, been collecting them. Who was mountain manager at the time? I don't know, was it Larry or Bernski?
Di
was working on that, she was on the mountain, but who was also, I think Bernski was running around. I know they raided uniforms from every single division in this mountain that had outdoor gear. I know ski school lost a lot of really nice jackets that weren't good. They didn't lose them. They got used, but they were pulled right out of the boxes. Sent up one. Everybody pitched in. Whether it was digging out, you know, steps, double rope lines with the bamboo to get people so that they had a way to get up to the top of one, whether they were in spiky heels or slick dress shoes. Everybody pitched in. Everybody showed up, stepped up. And we got them off the mountain. And we still had the torchlight parade at 2 o'clock in the morning. People got rescued out of the tram. It all worked. It was scary, but it all worked. Because we trained together for so long that everybody just pitched in. And I know it's a long story, but that was a long night. And Alan, I am so, oh, you cannot believe how thankful I was when you stepped up to, you know, start taking phone calls and worked the radios too. So that was, it was a good night. Everybody pitched in, the community pitched in, and that is what the foundation of Ski Patrol is. Service with safety. Thank you, I'm Pat Walker. I've only been here 33 years. Thank you.
Good job.
Yeah.
I worked here a long time ago. Like 40 years ago, but I started out as a junior national patroller in Blowing Rock, North Carolina in 1965. Went up through the ranks, and Alyeska Resort would not be what it is today without you guys, and I certainly could not have done my job as snow safety director for a decade. That's it.
Are we ready? You know, look back and the kind of cases we were trying to make for our value and what we bring to the mountain were things about what we built, you know, things we've actually done, things we've accomplished on the mountain, the history that's there, the physical things that are out there. But you listen to the stories here, what sticks for everybody, right? It's the family, the friendship, it's the camaraderie, it's the having each other's backs, it's the running into challenges, whether that challenge looks like remodeling dispatch or coming up with a new design for a house that burned down. Whether the challenge is friends that passed away too early or friends that hung on for a while or whatever and trying to work through that. The or hold on too long. But the overwhelming theme from just all these stories tonight talks about the family and the camaraderie and the brotherhood that we've got from struggling together, working together to overcome the challenges that we've had. Just supporting each other and bringing our own individual skill sets there to help all of us that are stuck up here in Alaska by our own choice feel like we're right at home. And we've got somebody to, what is it, plan our funeral? Is that how that went? So I just, you know, lift your glasses towards what it's all been. And we've lost some in the process. They're here with us tonight, looking down on us. And always will be in our hearts. And the principles that have, you know, taught each of us and given us strength through the years from this same group of people or people much like us that are here. So lift your glasses to a volunteer patrol, whoop, whoop, a ski patrol, and great, wonderful people all around. Here, here. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot to say. We got
Matthew, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Those are great stories from the Alyeska Volunteer Ski Patrol. Though the resort has a professional patrol, they have discontinued the volunteer patrol after 70 years of service. These stories were told at a live event in Goodwood this past December. Thanks to all of the storytellers and to William Melton Media for recording the event. A special thanks to our producer, Eric Bort. I'm your host, Paul Torta. Volunteers rock, and from all the hosts, we'll see you outdoors.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and in your favorite podcast app. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.